empty soul be filled. And now there's breakthrough. And now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same. Behold redemption. Made accusers drop their stones. Showed us mercy with your mighty miracles. And now there's breakthrough. And now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same.
Now we proclaim
Jesus' name.
The world's all day.
Jesus' name.
And every stronghold breaks.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Church, there is such a electricity. You can feel it in the pre-service meeting. before service. So great to have all of you joining us here today at Calvary Gospel Church. So thank you so very much, our worship team, for their worship song there. We'll be getting a little more worship here in a few minutes. But if you're joining us online, there's a connection. You can connect there. There's some, follow some of the cues there, and you'll be able to take we'd like to connect with you, and I would like to get to know you a little bit better. And you're always welcome at Calvary Gospel Church. But we are having our services virtual. We've had some COVID issues, and we're just trying to kind of be a little bit on the safe side of things here and make sure that we don't all get infected at the same time type thing. So services will be virtual, and we're going to determine this kind of service by service. So this morning, we decided yesterday to go ahead and have our service virtual, and we'll be deciding on Wednesday, and then we'll just kind of take it that way until we kind of get through this particular little bit of a spike that we're all going through here. But we do have a Friday night prayer meeting planned this Friday night at 7, and we're hoping to have that in person, but we'll be letting you know on that. As I said, and then next Sunday morning, we have our special speaker. We have Brother Jonathan Mackey that will be joining us, and he will be here whether we're live or not. We've gone ahead and just decided that if we're going to go ahead and have him come, he's going to be coming to the state anyway. So we just decided to go ahead and just, if we still are worshiping in our homes next week, then he will still be here irregardless. So we're looking forward to that. So before we get started and go any further, let's just pray. We have a number of folks that are sick, and maybe you know someone, maybe your family's been afflicted with this virus, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray, not just for our church, but for so many churches that are around us. I've talked to so many of our pastors, and they're suffering some of the same things that we're dealing with. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us this day. God, we believe that you are a healing God, that you have all of this in control. I pray, God, not just for Calvary Gospel Church, but for my brothers and sisters in area churches that are around us here in Dane County, but also Southwestern and all across this district of Wisconsin. I pray, God, that the power of the Holy Ghost would rest upon this morning. God, I pray, God, that you would reach into each and every home, each and every person that is watching this online, and that your hand would be upon them, Lord. Let them feel your presence. Let them feel your power. Let them feel your spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. So good to see you. So good to be with you. I wish you were all here this morning. But for those of few that are here, great to see a few faces anyway. But good to see Brother Carrie and Sister Debbie Millen back. And it's great to, just good to see you all here, and we got a drummer. Oh, God bless you. Love you all. We're going to worship a few more minutes, and we'll get into the word of the Lord shortly. God bless you.
Strength, God, our Savior, God, our Shake before you.
Church, thank you so very much to our worship team. So good to have all of you back. So good to see you all. And I'm just feeling good here this morning. Now you talk about these masks and hiding behind masks. I think Pastor Phil kind of started this thought train some weeks ago, but you know, you sitting over there, and this is going to just sound terrible, but you can yawn, you can burp. Oh, I was tasting my breakfast all over again, folks. I had some peanut butter crackers this morning. Oh, that's terrible. What a way to start out a message. You're at home. You don't have to wear a mask. So anyway, overcoming. We've been talking about leading through adverse times. And if we ever lived in adverse times now, but Jesus gave warning. He gave us so many, many warnings about what to expect. So everything that's happening is not things that we should look at and say, wow, I didn't see this coming. 2 Timothy talks about perilous times shall come across this earth, and we're certainly dealing with those now, and it's a challenge to lead. It's a challenge to lead the church through these adverse times, and this is also very challenging as families to lead, as fathers, husbands, to lead your family through adverse times, and developing that confidence in God, that God has all of this in control. And we've been talking about overcoming insecurities. We started talking about this on Wednesday night. And I'd like to just thank Sister Meredith for the explanation of why we have little toes. Does anybody know why we have little toes? What our little toes are used for in our feet? I think she had the best answer. Our little toes are used to detect furniture in the dark. I mean, when my wife started laughing, she was sitting on the sofa and she was reading, I don't know what post it was, Facebook, whatever, and she starts laughing. I'm like, what's so funny? She's like, Sister Meredith, she came up with a very good, and I immediately began to think about not too many weeks ago. I got up in the middle of the night and sometimes I can't sleep, and I'll go for a walk, and I'm walking out. I open the door, and my foot was a little bit, and I caught my little toe with the end of the door. So, yes, finding furniture, finding doors in the middle of the night in the dark is what our little toes are best suited for. Thank you, Sister Meredith. Continuing from Wednesday night, we started on a topic concerning a problem that we all face from time to time in our lives, and this is the problem of insecurity. Now, as I said on Wednesday, insecurity can take on many, many forms. Insecurity can encompass other feelings, such as the feeling of inadequacy or the feeling of being inferior. And insecurity is that improper feeling that tells us things like we don't quite measure up. We may sit in a room full of people, and the minute that we walk into that room, we begin to scan through that room, and we begin to look at someone that we could gravitate towards or someone that would make us feel comfortable, because we begin to immediately compare ourselves to other people. We have that feeling that we're not good enough, perhaps, at times. Or there's something wrong with me. Why I think the way I think, or why I act the way I act. Something has to be wrong with me. And sometimes we can feel insecure because of issues in our past. Perhaps we grew up, or you grew up in a home where that your father or your mother, or you had a brother or sister that picked on you constantly, or was criticizing. Maybe a father was, you were not smart enough. You were the dumb one in the family, and you grow up with those insecurities in your life. And I know I have an acquaintance, I'll just put it that way, to kind of hide the identity. But all his life he was told, I remember growing up, that he was dumb. He was stupid. And years later in life, when he was in his 40s and even early 50s, I had conversations and he would bring that up. Well, you know, I'm just the dumb one in the family. Don't ask me. And he carried this insecurity, this feeling that he never was able to measure up to his other siblings. He was never quite good enough, that there was something wrong with him. The truth of the matter is he was probably the most talented of all of the siblings and all of the individuals in the family. He had a lot of talent, a lot of abilities, but he was never able to utilize those because he was always trying to take and measure up. So as we look into the scripture today, and we're going to continue from where we were on Wednesday night, the same passages of scripture, we're going to continue dissecting the scripture out. It's Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 4. When the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is Jeremiah writing this. So when Jeremiah says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, it's Jeremiah saying, God spoke to me. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Now you notice Jeremiah's response. Now when we look at the scripture, the Bible really is, it's a conversation. It's about the history of God and man. But a lot of the scripture is just conversation between God and man. So many times we kind of overlook that. We just kind of read through it for the sake of reading through it. But here, Jeremiah is actually having a conversation with God. And God says, Jeremiah, I formed you in the womb before I knew you. I formed you, and before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet. All of this took place before you were even born. All of this took place while you were still in the womb. And then Jeremiah responds back, and immediately, as most of us do at times in our life, when God calls us, asks us, appoints us to do something, the first thing we do is we look at who we are. Our insecurities begin to come out, and we begin to have an excuse. So Jeremiah responds to God and immediately says, but God, I'm just a young man. You don't understand. I'm far too young to be a prophet to the nations. No one is going to listen to me. And notice immediately God responds to Jeremiah's inadequate response. But the Lord said unto me, do not say. So God immediately scolds him, says, do not say I'm a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you. Or you're going to go where I send you, Jeremiah. And whatever I command you to say, you're going to say. And don't be afraid. God goes on and he looks into the heart, the mind, the emotions of Jeremiah, his psyche perhaps. And he immediately addresses his fear. You notice how insecurity and fear seem to partner up a lot of times in our lives. Then he says, do not be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of what they look like, Jeremiah. There's going to be some intimidating people that I'm going to have you pastor or minister to. Don't be afraid. Ignore their anger, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put words in your mouth. You ever get in a conversation with someone and you're nervous, you're afraid, and you begin to speak out, and you immediately know that as you begin to speak out, that the words that are coming out of your mouth are not your words, but they're words from God. That God has putting words in your mouth. God says, don't worry about this, Jeremiah. I knew you before you were born. I ordained you. I assigned you. I had a purpose for you. And now that you're older and you have excuses, I want to take away those excuses because I'm still with you. I haven't left you. I still know who you are, Jeremiah. And see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw out, to build and to plant. You see, Jeremiah was a man very similar to you and I today, who battled insecurity. And when God calls him into his ministry, when God calls him into his purpose, as God begins to call us, church, into our ministry, God begins to call us into our purpose, this is what we're going to battle. This is what's going to come at us. We're going to have reasons, excuses as to why we can't do what God has purposed for us to do. But we have to understand that God treats us exactly the same way he treated Jeremiah. And we find Jeremiah going back to those same words again and again and again in his life when things became difficult. There were times in his life when Jeremiah had wished, in chapter 20, he was wished that he wasn't even born. You see, he was called into a tough ministry, a difficult ministry at a very difficult time. Israel was very much a backslidden nation. They had walked away from God. It was a difficult ministry. It was a difficult time as a prophet to get up on the street corner and begin to preach repentance to a people that had no desire to repent. You see, he preached for 40 years. Sometimes we wonder about our Bible studies and are we getting any kind of a result and when do we finally say enough is enough and move on. But here we find Jeremiah, he preached for 40 years and Scripture does not record of him having reached or converted one single person in those 40 years. Now he was known as a weeping prophet. I think part of this was because he had mood swings. Maybe he was bipolar. I have no idea. We don't know. I don't believe that the men and the women in the Scripture were any more exempt from things that we deal with today when it comes to emotions and all of this. But he says, "I wish I had never been born." I don't know if you've ever said that before. I don't know if you've ever looked at your life and said, you know, God, I can't do what you've asked me to do. You've called me to do something that's impossible. I would rather not even been born to have to do what you've asked me to do. I don't know where you are in your life to this morning. I don't know where you are in all of this. But we have to be able to look at the men and the women of the Old Testament, the old prophets in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament. And we have to understand that they're to be viewed as models of morality, or not as models of morality, but as mirrors of identity. When we look at old men like Jeremiah, we can look at them and we can identify ourselves as though we are looking in a mirror. We can say, I can relate to this. I can understand this. So when Jeremiah started to become and feel, started to feel insecure, he would always go back to verse 5. And he could always remember that before I was even born, God knew me. And before I was even born, God had a plan for my life. And before you were born this morning, God knew you. God taught him some things. If we're willing to be patient and listen, God can teach us things. God will and desires to teach us things. Things that can keep us going. Things that we can learn. Things that we can believe in. And we can overcome this killer emotion that we all struggle with from time to time. When you start feeling insecure, you can always go back to verse 5 and remember that you are a special product of God. Our next point that we're going to move on to this morning is when you deal with insecurities, when you start to feel insecure, you need to remember that you are special, a special pleasure of God. You see, we have to understand this. God created humanity like no other creatures. The key word here in this verse is knew. God says, before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. We're going to look at that word knew. Knew, it's not talking about a mere intellectual knowledge as I know Dan Powell or I know Brittany Powell. Okay, the key word here is he's talking about something that's much more than just an intellectual knowledge. He's talking about an intimate knowledge. He's talking about something that is very, very special, something that is personal, something that is on the loving knowledge side of things. It's the same word that was used to describe Adam's intimacy with Eve in Genesis 4:1, where it says, Adam knew Eve and she conceived. The word knowledge here refers to a special, intimate, loving knowledge God has with respect to his children. And his children give him pleasure because he loves them. He knows them in a very special way. You and I, we are a special pleasure of God. When he formed us in our mother's womb, he knew us at an intimate level. He knew us at a level that no one else will ever know us at. Scripture tells us that when he looks at us, he knows our thoughts before we even think them. He knows what we're going to think before it even comes into our process of thinking. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. He knows how many hairs are on our heads. He knows all about who we would be. He knows all about how we will turn out. He loves us unconditionally, regardless. You see, he knew who your parents were going to be. He knew who your grandparents were going to be. He knew who your great-great-grandparents were going to be. And we can go on and on and on because we are a very special. I said this Wednesday night. God didn't create us with the same love for us as he had for the armadillo. God didn't create us the same love that he has for the animal kingdom or the plant kingdom. We are very special. He knew us before we were even born. So the fact that God loves Jeremiah and he knew him before he was even born is so critically important to Jeremiah. God knew exactly. God knows exactly today what causes you to feel those feelings of not measuring up. I'm not good enough. I can try and try and try, and no matter how hard I try, I can't seem to get there. God knows exactly what causes that in our lives. We look down at verses 6 and 7, and Jeremiah, as I said, begins to give an excuse. But God, I can't speak. I'm just a young man, God. I can't do this. But the Lord says, and God corrects him almost instantaneously. He said, listen, Brother Kerry, I've called you. I've ordained you. I knew you in your mother's womb. I knew your name before your mother knew your name. I knew who you were going to marry. I knew how many children you were going to have. I knew you were going to be sitting here on November 15th, 2020, listening to this message. I knew all of this before you were even born. You see, sometimes our mission, our purpose that God, we've been talking a lot about this because God is pushing us. God is maneuvering us. God is shifting us into His will and into His purpose. And sometimes our mission, and I will use mission and purpose interchangeably, but sometimes our purpose will cause us to become insecure. Sometimes it's what God has called us to do that becomes the source of our insecurity. God, I can't pastor all of these people. God, I can't do this. You're asking me to do all of this. God, I can't do this. God says, well, I think you can. I wouldn't have called you to do it. So those, our mission, our purpose will cause us to become insecure. It will draw out from us our insecurities. It will reveal to us, and it will reveal to others as well. Other people can pick up on what our insecurities are. And God says, don't give me an excuse, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, don't feel insecure. I know all about you. I love you, Jeremiah. You are my special purpose. We see something else that caused Jeremiah to feel insecure in verse 8. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. You know, pastoring isn't that hard if I didn't have to deal with people. You do realize that. That pastoring is really all about people. And sometimes folks can come up to you and they can have a look on their faces. And you can tell by the very minute that your eyes meet as they come up, and you can tell by the look on their face that things aren't going to necessarily be a pleasurable conversation. And Jeremiah was living in a time where he was having to confront some things in the nation of Israel. He was having to call them out for their sin. He was having to take and get on the street corners and say, listen, repent, repent. We're a nation of sinners. Our country, our nation, our world today, we could solve so much of this problem if we would just address the sin issue. Our sin issue, my sin issue. You address your sin issue. You don't worry about everybody else's sin. But if every person just addressed their own sin issues, so many problems we have in this world would go away. But try getting out on a street corner and saying that. Yeah, you could feel a little bit insecure when you start to yell out to repent. You see, people can be tough. People can be mean. Some people just look mean. I've had some people say, well, you don't understand, Pastor. I just look this way. No, I don't know that you. I think you've acquired that look because you've learned that that look will get you things. God says, Jeremiah, you may feel a bit insecure. You may feel that you're too young. We may feel today in our own lives that, well, I'm too young. Who's going to listen to me? I want to challenge some of our young men and women in our congregation. You're not too young. You're not too young. If God has called you, you're old enough. And if God can use a young lad as young as 7 or 8 years old as in Samuel, He can use a young man in his teen years as in David, and he can use a young prophet, Jeremiah, in his early 30s. He can use any one of us. So it's not that you're not good enough or you're not smart enough or you're not strong enough or your body's not strong enough. We could go on and on and on and on and on with excuses. But God says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. You are my special product. You are my special pleasure. And I created you just exactly the way I wanted you to be. And I love you just exactly the way that you are. I think in life today that there's nothing more discouraging than trying to be something or somebody that you're not. For so many, many, many people try to live a life being someone that they simply are not. You see, there's a real danger in this. You go on social media, and I don't hate social media. I've got my issues with it, but I guess the thing I don't like about it the most is people can get on there and say things that they normally wouldn't say. They can get on there and they can create profiles and they can be people. They can be somebody that they totally are not at all. It allows a person to portray an image that simply is not real. I was thinking of this morning about how potent a lie is, how powerful a lie is. To get someone to believe a lie, to get a group of people to believe a lie, it's the ultimate in manipulation. That's exactly what Satan did in the garden. He got Eve to believe a lie. He got Adam to believe Eve. And then all of humanity followed in. And we have been believing lies for generations and generations and generations. You see, a lie is just simply deviation from the truth. Not everybody's that way. Not everyone on social media is that way. So the difficulty becomes if you maintain a facade, if you become somebody that you're not because you're afraid of other people might find out who you really are, or maybe you're afraid that God might not love you just because of the way you are. Listen, you're going to miss out on the best of your life trying to be somebody. Listen, God, for years in my life, I became someone that I didn't like because I was trying to please other people. And I found out that God's not going to bless my life. God wasn't blessing my life. Why? Because I was becoming a fake and a phony. I wasn't really who I said I was. If you want God's blessing on your life, stop living. Listen, I've got this highlighted in my notes. If you want God's blessing for your life, stop living for the approval of other people and start being who God called you and created you and made you to be. God didn't create you to be somebody else. When you get to heaven, God's not going to say, why weren't you more like your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad? Why weren't you more popular? Why did you have to be so quiet? No. He is going to hold each and every one of us. Listen to me. He's going to hold each and every one of us accountable for how we fulfilled his purpose in our life. So that means I am going to be held accountable for the purpose and whether or not I'm fulfilling that purpose that God placed in my life. I'm going to be accountable for that. The world doesn't need two Roy Grants. The world doesn't need two Dan Powells. The world doesn't need two Dennis Uselmans, two Derek Buchholzes, two Kim Akas. The world needs one. Only one, because if there's two, then one's a copy. God likes original. I said this, most of us are born original, but we die a copy. We fall into line, and God says, no, no. He shaped you, and he gifted you in a unique way. And we're all missing out if we determined to be anyone else but ourself. Paul says to the church in 2 Corinthians, the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 4:2 in the NLT, he says, don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. In other words, we're not putting on a disguise or a phony mask. We're not pretending to be something we're not, and we don't twist the word of God. Instead, we teach the truth plainly. I'm a simple guy, I'll tell you that. I like things simple. I like things. I like nice things. There's nothing wrong with nice things, but I like things simple. We teach the truth plainly, showing everyone who we really are. Nothing is more discouraging than trying to please everybody. If you want to fail in your life, if you want to fail in business, I read this in a business book on tips to surviving business. The key to surviving is not trying to please everyone. You will not be able to please everybody. You see, God couldn't even please everybody. When somebody's praying for a snowy day that it's going to snow, somebody else is going to be praying for blue skies and sunshine. You have to understand how difficult it must be for God when people are praying one way, God, take this COVID away, and other people are saying, God, use this to bring America to repent. You look at God, God says, you know what? I have my purpose. I have my plan. So when we start to feel insecure, remember we are a special product of God. And we are a special pleasure of God. And we also remember my last point. We have a special purpose in God. There are two key words in this passage, sanctified and ordained. And these words refer to us as Christians and our special purpose that we have in our life as to be set apart. We are to be set apart and appointed. God says, before I formed you in the womb, before you were born, I sanctified you, I ordained you, I set you apart, and I appointed you. And we have to understand that this morning. Before Jordan Powell was born, God says, Jordan Powell, I set you apart, and I've appointed you. Do we believe that this morning? Do you believe that God specifically said, Josh Stone, before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you? You see, that's Jeremiah, God saying, I have a special purpose just for you. And God did have a special purpose. You see, God called Jeremiah to a ministry of preaching to a wayward, backslidden nation. He says, don't be afraid. Our musicians can go ahead and come this morning. Don't be afraid. Listen, nothing feeds insecurities like fear feeds insecurities. Notice how God deals with both of these problems in his life. He says, don't be afraid, Jeremiah, because I am with you. God is with us this morning. When you start to feel insecure, you remember that God is right by our sides. Remember my power, verse 9, and the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth, Jeremiah. I'm going to enable you with my power. I'm going to give you my authority. So when God gives you special purpose, he equips you to to fulfill that purpose. He equips you with His presence and with His power. And God will do the very same thing for every single one of His children. You see, ultimately, church, our purpose is to bring glory to God. Revelation 4:11 says, God has created all things, and it is by His will that they exist and were created. So whether you're teaching a Bible study, whether you're witnessing, giving a speech at work, a presentation in a classroom in your school, God desires to glorify Himself through us. Whatever job God calls you to do, whatever He leads you to do, you and I are to live for His glory. We are to live a life that pleases Him. One of the reasons so many people feel insecure is because they live their lives just trying to please others. Don't live a life trying to please others. All that really matters is whether or not God is pleased. Listen, if God is pleased, we ought to be tickled to death. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what your critics think. Not too long ago, I was dealing with a pretty difficult situation. And I listened to a small 4.5 minute, I believe it was, excerpt from a sermon from Reverend T.D. Jakes or Bishop T.D. Jakes. He began to recall a story how he had gone out east, I believe it was, to a seminar of sorts, and he was one of the speakers, and this was in his very early days of ministry, and he had a lot of questions asked to him. But he said, I was amazed at how many people were so critical of my ministry and critical of my writings when they didn't even know me. They didn't even know who I was. And he said, I was so frustrated. He said, I just wanted to go home and just say, I'm done. I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. God, why did you call me to do this? He said, I ran into a little old lady. She began to minister to me. You see, God called Jeremiah to preach to Israel. God called me to pastor at Calvary Gospel Church. There are people that don't like me and don't like this church, but you know what? God didn't call me to pastor them. If I worried about what everybody thought and everybody's opinions, I would quit today and never come back and never preach again. Since Pastor Jakes, Bishop Jakes, was relaying his experience, it spoke to me in volumes, because God has a purpose and a calling, and if we fulfill God's calling in each and every one of our lives, it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what other people say. It matters what God thinks. When others make fun of you or question your integrity, when you start feeling inadequate and insecure, you feel like you don't measure up, remember that more important than what anyone else thinks about you is what God thinks about you. You want God's approval for your life? Start living it for His glory. You want to live your life for God's glory? God will approve of it. All those feelings of insecurities, when living a life with God's approval, they'll just seem to slowly drift away. like the spring snow. It just slowly melts away. So you want to be that leader that God called you to be? Just remember, you're a special product of God. There's only one of you. You're a special pleasure of God. God says, I created you in an exceptionally intimate way, that I am intimate with you like you are intimate with no one else. And you have special purpose. I created you for purpose, for such a time as this. So God bless you. We love you, appreciate each and every one of you. Let's just stand to our feet, and as our worship team begins to lead us in worship at the close of this message.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware, I realize just how beautiful you are and how your measures are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
Oh, how he loves.
we sign off here for the day. It's been such a powerful presence of the Lord in this place. I hope you enjoy a time of worship with your family. Just remember this week, Wednesday evening, we will be letting you know before Wednesday as to if we're going to be live or not. Brother Jerry Simmons will be speaking, our men's outreach pastor. So be looking forward to that. And then Friday night, we have our Bible, or not Bible study, we have our prayer meeting. And we're just going to take this one day at a time and see where we are. And then next week on Sunday, we have Brother Jonathan Mackey. He'll be preaching here at Calvary, also at VOSIS and African International. So if you joined us online today from Calvary Gospel Church, Facebook and or YouTube, thank you so very much. God bless you. We had folks today from Wisconsin and from Illinois, Ohio, Colorado, Iowa, and Kansas. So if you joined us from any of those places, if you don't attend a Pentecostal church, you can give us a call. We can get you located to one in your area if you would like to. But God bless you all. We love you. Appreciate you all. Calvary Gospel Church, have a very, very blessed, blessed week. So thank you so very much to our worship praise team. Phenomenal job this morning. I just love what I feel right here, right now. I don't want to leave it. God bless you all. We love you.